have nothing special to show you visually. I came unprepared, not knowing quite what I was going to be talking about, but more commenting about what's been presented. First of all, I'm overwhelmed, honored by a symposium being presented in this way. I rarely am quite this much overwhelmed, but I am. Getting back to what Dave was talking about, the actual subject, the title for this, I was quite puzzled by what he meant by a taxonomic impediment until he explained what was on his mind and the increasing specialization among ecologists on the one side and going off in different directions in systematics on the other side, and there being less and less synergism. And I've sensed this in some of my senior colleagues, including, in particular, Garrett Alberti, but also Roy Norton, and I could mention some others. People who have had very multifaceted careers and have had contributions, especially not only in systematics in a broad sense, but in functional morphology and internal anatomy, fine structure of mites, these areas. And among some of these people, there is a sense of lamentation currently, as support for their areas of research seems to have dwindled. An understanding of mites as whole organisms is basic to our knowledge, and predictions of what these tiny but fascinating little animals look like, what they do, what they're made of, how they get about to what they're doing, how they get to where they are, and so on. Comparative morphology within that is intrinsic to whole organism biology, and has been fundamental in producing such aspects, at least within my areas of interest, systems of notation based on underlying homologies, structures, and seeing these widely applied to different groups so that people are speaking about the same structures with the same notation, that sort of thing. By way of ontogeny, elucidating suites of character states that appear at the very beginning and then may change through ontogeny from one stage to the next, or they may be accelerated, or they may change through development. And then functional predictions as to what mites do. The form of the mouth parts. Jerry was just talking to you about the tritosternum. Leg structures, how they become modified. Shape of the body, as Barry was talking about. All of these are whole organism studies and in deeply involved morphology. At the same time, systematic acarology has been refined and enriched by a consideration of a wider variety of structures and attributes, as not only from the adults, but also from the immatures. Also, it's been improved by methods of imagery, and of course, in that area, why we had some fine examples today of in-depth analysis of structures. Some of the work that Ron, you showed, and also Jim Amride. Now, although some may lament the detail and length of some current descriptive and illustrative work, and we could even point to the level of description now that is almost demanded in Areophyids by some of you who are present, some people are lamenting that. But it's become clear that it's that level of detail that's needed to distinguish between members of species, species complexes, as well as to recognize apomorphic evidence that link taxa. So on the one hand, to distinguish between very similar ones, but at the same time, to use a greater suite of character states that may be useful in recognizing natural groups. At the same time, molecular analysis have come along, and there's a seeking to establish or clarify genetic and phylogenetic relationships among taxa by this method. And it's welcomed. And what molecular approaches are doing too, in quite often giving a grouping of taxa, they're persuading people to look again. They're questioning what we think we know now. And from a morphological standpoint, then you better look back at them again to see why there's this disparity between the results. And in that vein, obviously molecular taxonomy has, say, led by Navajas and Goto and others, has been very useful in circumscribing or distinguishing morphologically similar species, and especially linking taxa through time, or linking individuals, recognizing that the egg, this form, is actually the same as the adult, and actually being able to identify it, even though the egg doesn't have any other structure. It's also useful as an approach in some highly specialized taxa, such as Eriophyids and Demodicids. These groups, which have become so impoverished morphologically that molecular data may provide insights at both the species level and higher taxon levels in groups that may be similar morphologically due to convergence. And once again, Eriophyids come to mind. Some of these so-called Eriophyid genera or even species, they look so similar, but there's other things about them that aren't similar. And one would hope that the molecular approach will help in that. I had a section here which I'm going to skip in the interest of time. I think maybe all I want to say about that is that we are dealing to some extent with, in both morphological studies and molecular analyses, we have seen some hurried products based on insufficiencies. Insufficiencies of data both from the exemplars chosen and the variety of characters used for those exemplars. I think we have to be very careful about that. And otherwise, the result, the approaches that you're using are not going to be, persuasive. And one's just going to have to do further work to get more on track. When it comes to Jerry Krantz's Eureka Moments, that was I found that fascinating. And I don't think I have anything quite as exciting to propose or explain on that. But my Eureka Moments have been more morphological or developmental, things like that. And I have some examples here, but really they're not nearly as interesting, and I don't have illustrations for them. One of the ones, actually, though, Barry, was the one that you built on, those two very unrelated forms that have come to occupy bracket fungus pores. I would mention, though, I'm not even going to mention that one. You're just going to have to wait until Mary Lowe and I work on it. So even though I haven't given you these examples, what I'm going to jump to is, in concluding, is just that we need the complementarity of both approaches, molecular as well as a whole organism. And although I am not into molecular analyses, I have a number of questions I think that would be just fascinating to have approached by this method. One is the phylogenetic age and position of the Eriophyoidea, the so-called tetrapodally. I wish I could talk with you a little bit more about why this excites me so much, but That too will come out in time. But is this group as ancient as currently hypothesized? That's one of the questions I wonder. And what is its sister group? Turning to the Tetranychoidea, the superfamily of the spider mites and their kin. What about the phylogenetic positions of the different families? Which are the more basal and which are the more derived? Yes, the Tuckerellids still retain at least to some extent a tritonymph, which might suggest they're quite basal, but this really needs to be looked at in more detail. The phylogenetic position between the Delids and the Kanaxids, there was a paper given, your paper today. They've been assumed, and there's some evidence that they are sister groups because primarily because of the form of their nathosoma. But are they really sister groups? There are some very different aspects about them, some of which Dave, you pointed out. Their way of life, the way they conduct their sex and so on, and what about the tips of the legs, the form of their impodium, that sort of thing. Very, very, very different. So these are problems that are ripe for addressing by the molecular method, I think. So I would summarize then by saying that the impediment between ecology and systematics can be bridged, should be bridged, by a re-emphasis of whole organism biology, complemented by molecular data. And the presentations of this symposium have encompassed much of this bridging, and that's what's been so delightful to take in with you. My sincere thanks to those of you who thought of and organized this symposium. I really am overwhelmed, as my voice indicates. Thanks very much to those of you who presented your findings, and thanks to the others of you who are here to share these moments. Your presentations and interests are my interests as well. It's stimulating, and all I can do is thank you very much and assure you of one other thing. Yes, I've been retired for 10 years, and yes, I'm getting a little bit longer of tooth, but right now I've in a fascinating potpourri of papers, and I look forward to a good many more years of presentations and eureka moments, Jared. Thank you.